Romans, 1 Corinthians. It's one of those hard-to-find books. 1 Corinthians, and it's chapter 12. We're going to begin reading with verse 18. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18. And Paul is talking about how God gifts us with special, unique abilities that come to us when we come to Christ. And we can get additional ones as we grow in our relationship with Christ. And it says in verse 18, now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as He pleased. As who pleased? As He pleased. In other words, as God's design. It's not our design. It's not what we want. It's what He wants. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor can the hand say to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Every part of the body is necessary. So what Paul is saying here is that God designed the church, the community of faith, to respond in such a way that we function together as one body. Every piece is necessary. Every part is necessary. With one part missing, the whole body is slowed down. It's crippled in a sense. But when every part is functioning as God designed it to function, we work as Christ's arms, His legs, His feet, His hands. We are Christ to the community and to each other in that way. Now notice, let's skip on down to verse 26. It says, if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? The assumed answer for that is no. It would be a very boring place if all of us were teachers, if all of us were gifted with music, so that we're all up front playing music and the rest are where? We need all of us. We need every unique gift, every unique calling. Why do we use these gifts? Is it just to have some place to plug people in church? No. It's so that we can function together to be the arms and the heart of Jesus Christ to the community and to each other. It is an act of worship. In fact, if you were to take time later and look at Romans 12, the whole section of Romans 12 talks about in Romans 12, 1, that when we serve Christ, our bodies are like a living sacrifice and worship to God. One of the greatest ways we can worship God is to learn the way it is that He designed us and then to begin to function in that way. Now today we're going to do something just a little bit different. Pastor Brian and I are going to do a team teaching time. And we just want to invite you to join with us. For those of you who are just new here today, maybe just a guest with us today, I hope that you'll find this meaningful. Come on up, Pastor Brian. We're going to just catch you up as much as possible. We have been doing or made available some spiritual gifts inventories. And these inventories were designed so that you can help discover your gifts and your calling. Is that better? Okay. Some of you didn't take them yet. You can still. Is that right? There's still inventories out there. You may not get quite the benefit that you would have if you had taken one, but you can take one after the service, after we're done today, and say, you know what, I really would like to find out what my spiritual gifts are. So you can take one of those inventories home, then drop it off at the office, and we'll still evaluate it for you and give you back your results, and it'll be a helpful tool for you still. So what we're going to do is go through some of these giftings, how they work in the church, how does the body function, and some questions that come up accordingly. So, as you have your notes there, By the way, does everybody have a copy of these notes? Anybody missing a copy? Anybody get missed? Okay, good. You can just follow along with us, and then we have a place there for you to write in special details as they apply to the gifts that are yours. So, Pastor Bryant, I'm going to start with you. What about some of the gifts? We've got these categorized in various categories. Gifts that celebrate God's presence. Can you talk a little bit about that?
One of the first ones that we've experienced today is music. If you read Psalms 150, it talks about praising Him. And it's all about praising Him with the trumpet, with the harp, with tambourines, dancing, strings, flutes, and cymbals. So as we look at the gift of music, we're talking about the things that we do up front here. It's not to entertain us. It's about worshiping God. It's used to celebrate God's presence as we come in here today and to lead us in worship. As we do this, it's all directed toward Him. It's not about us. It's not about us feeling good about what we like, what we don't like. It's about praising Him and the words that we sing, the music that is played. As we look at that and we say, okay, how does that fit within this body? You saw up here today what was taking place. We have vocalists. We have instrumentalists. Our worship team. We've had children's programs where the children have sang. We needed people to lead those. We've had people that dance, that have done interpretive dance. So there's various ways within the music that we can serve God. We also have craftsmanship, and I know there's a lot of those here that this is something that they're very good at. If you read Exodus 31, God is calling out those craftsmen to build the tabernacle. He knew who their gifts were, and He knew what He needed them to accomplish. So as we look at craftsmanship, to build, maintain the building. And you can also express it in worship as we've seen through our art forms such as video, things that you've seen up here, drama, painting. We've had dramas different times here. When we did our Bethlehem walk, there was a lot of things that were done that needed to be taken care of, the settings and things. We did our Living Last Supper, the backdrop. There were a couple here that painted that. So that's how God uses those gifts. And those are always things that we need to have here as we seek to do those type of things. As we continue to talk about celebrating God's presence, there's four prayer-related gifts also that are associated with this. And Pastor Greg is going to explain those to us today.
This cluster of gifts that has to do with prayer, these gifts can go with other things as well, but often these are associated with prayer. And the first one is the gift of intercession. Now, all of us are called to pray. The Bible talks about all of us praying and trying to be continuously in an attitude of prayer. But there are some people that have the ability to just labor in prayer. They can pray for hours at a time and it doesn't seem to faze them. Now, there only about 5 to 10% of the average congregation has an intercession prayer gift at that level. But these people behind the scenes are praying for everything that's going on. They're praying for the leaders. They're praying for the children divisions. They're praying for the youth and on their trips. They're praying for each of the social events. And there's a tremendous power that comes when people who have these prayer gifts are exercising these prayer gifts. In addition to that, often coming along with intercession is the gift of healing. Now, we've seen people in this congregation healed through prayer. And sometimes that healing is an instantaneous thing. Sometimes it takes time. We know that ultimately everybody that we pray for will receive healing. Ultimately, when Christ comes, everyone will have been healed. So that is something that's legitimate. But there are usually people who have suffered some physical difficulties themselves are the ones that seem to be gifted in this area to pray for healing. Miracles. Praying for God to do supernatural things. And we see those things all the time in the body of Christ. As somebody's going through a crisis, we gather around and pray. And we've seen some financial impossibilities resolved. We've seen situations in people's marriages turned around. Those kinds of things are miracles. And they happen that are associated with prayer. And then we have one that's called language in your inventory. The Bible calls it the gift of tongues. And there's a couple of different manifestations of the gifts of tongues. And I'm going to talk about, there's actually three of them. I'll get to one of them later. The gift of tongues, if you look at all the biblical passages of it, one is a legitimate language for outreach, and we'll talk about that later. Then there's the prayer-related gift of tongues. One of them can be tied into the prophetic in the sense that someone can speak out in a tongue and with an interpreter, and the interpreter is then be able to say a message that came from God that way. And then there's the most common use, which is a prayer language, where someone is praying in the Spirit. And the praying in the Spirit is really just between a person and God, and they are able to express prayer in that way.
As we talk about language or tongues, how do we address the use of that within our body here?
Okay, well, thanks for asking that, because there's a wide variety of ways that churches handle this. Some churches don't believe some of the spiritual gifts are for today, and that's really not a biblical position if you study what the Bible teaches about it. But there are some that avoid it altogether. And then there's some churches where if you walk in, it seems almost chaotic because these gifts are going all the time. And this church, it tends to be in the middle. We believe that the early church, if you study the passages where tongues was used in the early church, most of the early church had no buildings. They didn't have large gatherings of faith like we have here. Most of them were in small groups and homes, and they knew when there was somebody coming in that didn't know the Lord yet, and they knew that these things needed to be handled appropriately. In larger settings, if everyone, as Paul says, if everyone's speaking in a tongue, then the person coming in is going to say, these guys are crazy. I can't understand what's going on. What's happening here? So generally what we do and what you'll find in churches like this is that the gifts are used primarily in small groups, but generally in a main service, unless you happen to be standing right next to somebody during worship. You might hear them under their breath praying in the Spirit. Most of the time you won't hear it in a more out loud manner.
And being that we are a part of a denomination, a Brethren in Christ denomination, how does the denomination look at the use of tongues?
Well, they believe that all the gifts are for today. Biblically speaking, it's hard to take passages like 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 that talk about the gifts and say those were only for past times. Because it was talking about how the local church should apply and continue to apply them. So clearly they were intended to be for today. But with the mindset that the corporate gathering is more of an evangelistic outreach many times. Many times people who don't know Jesus are invited to those settings. Generally you'll find that in small groups. And that's the way our denomination tends to handle it. Let me ask you a question. Now it's time for your section here. Gifts that educate God's people. Brian, could you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, one of the gifts is teaching, and that's a big part of what we do here. As we look at teaching, it's preparing us through biblical to understand biblical principles and how those principles apply to our lives. What this does is it equips us for ministry, it equips us to talk to other people about who God is. And we look at our program here, we look at our church and we say, wow, there's so much for children, for adults. Those are the gifts where teaching comes in play. We have adult Sunday school classes where we need teachers for that. We have children's classes, Sunday school, junior worship. We have kids clubs where we need teachers for that. Small group leaders, if you have the gift of teaching, this is a great place to plug into. Or even Bible studies. We do Bible studies at different times. If you have the gift of teaching, this is a great place to plug into that. Also is exhortation. And this is strengthening and encouraging people in their faith and helping them to develop their potential. This is oftentimes works in discipleship as you're working with somebody that you're able to speak into their life about the things that God has revealed to you that you see in them, the strengths that they probably can't see at that time. A great place for that also is in teaching. As you're teaching a class, being able to use those principles to encourage somebody. That's what exhortation is all about, is we're seeking to encourage people to grow in their faith. That is, for myself, that is one of my higher gifts. And I, it's interesting because I'm just learning to understand what that means, how God uses that. I just last Sunday somebody said something, another concept within that that I never understood. But I see how being able to talk to somebody and be able to explain what you see in them, their strengths, and to encourage them in that helps them to grow and brings a realization to them that they may not have recognized before. Also, one of the gifts is wisdom. And this is being able to understand God's perspective on life situations and being able to explain those to people. So often, you know, things come along you just don't seem to understand, but a person with a gift of wisdom, they're able to sit down with you and explain to you what that means. And again, teaching is an ideal place to get involved if you have the gift of wisdom, because you're able to take biblical truths and things to be able to explain to people what they mean. Discipleship, again, coming alongside somebody and being able to talk to them about things that they don't understand. It helps them to grow and mature in their faith. Mentoring somebody. Somebody comes along and says, I just really need somebody to come alongside me. That's a great place if you have the gift of wisdom to work with someone. Also, the gift of discernment. This is the ability to distinguish right from wrong. Be able to distinguish between truth and falsehood, and to give an evaluation of that based on God's word. And also be able to tell whether an experience is an experience of God, experience of Satan, or experience of self. Again, this I just recently retook the test, and this came out high for me, and I'm trying to understand all what that means as far as discernment. But I see how God uses that to be able to talk with other people and to be able to discern things that are going on in their lives. Pastoring is a great place if you have the gift of discernment. Teaching, a great place. Again, discipleship, mentoring people, that you're able to talk with them, and as they share with you, being able to explain what that means. Also, the gift of knowledge. And this is the ability to analyze and clarify information that is important to the growth and the well-being of the body. If you have the gift of knowledge, teaching is a place for you to be. Understanding biblical principles, understanding God's word that you can share with other people. And again, discipling and mentoring. Having that gift of knowledge helps people to grow. And that's really what, as we look at these gifts, it's helping people to grow in their understanding of God, in their faith, and their understanding of Scripture. We also have gifts that communicate God's word. And Greg, would you share with us what those are?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Interestingly, as you were talking about knowledge, most of the time when people have a gift of teaching, they have also have an ability to kind of accumulate information so that they have something to share. And, you know, I've noticed that for you, example, you have a gift of teaching. It's not one of your top gifts, but it's up there pretty high. And when you're always collecting information. If you've ever heard Brian speak, there's going to be some statistics in there somewhere. It's just part of what's going to happen. So why? Because he has the gift of, along with his teaching gifts, comes knowledge. And so he's constantly collecting these little tidbits of knowledge, and they come out when he speaks. So.
And I get such abuse for that.
So gifts that communicate God's word. The first one we have here is the gift of prophecy. And the word prophecy comes from the word prophetes in the Greek. Pro meaning before, and phetes or comes from the word phoné or voice, comes phonograph, all come from that word, from that root. So before speaking is essentially what it means. And the word and the prefix pro can mean standing in front of and speaking. So one of the primary ways that this gift is used is in public preaching. That's a way of the prophetic. For example, the ability to publicly communicate God's word in an inspired way that convinces the unbeliever and challenges and comforts believers. That's what one of the uses of the gift of prophecy. But the word prophetes also means speaking beforehand, before something happens. And sometimes you'll get people will get impressions. They might get dreams. They might get, you know, be praying for somebody and they'll get a visual picture of something that God is using to communicate to them things, how to pray for somebody or what might be in store in the future. That is a very legitimate and important gift and one that should be used. Now, always when you get an impression or something like that, not all of those things, every impression that comes through my mind is not from the Lord. and not every dream that I've had is from God. We have to have discernment with that. And the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:20-21 that we should take those kinds of gifts. Whenever there's something that feels like it's prophetic, we should always test it by the Word. We should prove and make sure it's really God. So if somebody's getting an impression, you know, that they should go and move in with their boyfriend or girlfriend and forget the marriage thing, that's not the Lord, because what the Bible teaches is very clear on that. So you know, always test those kinds of impressions by the Word. On the other hand, I can tell you that for example, there were some things that I was praying through and working through, and I've had people from this church come up to me and say, you know, I've been praying, you are on my heart in prayer, and the Lord, I think the Lord's telling me to tell you this. And it'd be the very same thing that I'd been hearing in my prayer time, alone with God. That was a confirmation. Someone's prophetic gift was an encouragement to me. So that's something that's viable, and if you have that gift, use it. The church needs you. Evangelism, that's the supernatural gift that God has given to be able to communicate the gospel. We're all called to share our faith, every one of us. But some have a supernatural ability to just, wherever they are, just somehow spiritual conversations are always flying, and they're, you know, always bringing somebody to Christ. That is a crucial gift. Sometimes you see it on large-scale settings like a Billy Graham or someone like that. That's a public evangelist. But then there's interpersonal evangelists, and we're going to be talking about that some in our series coming up, Out of the Comfort Zone, how to share your faith in comfortable ways. It'll be good. Missions. Missions is kind of an extension of the gift of evangelism. Some people have a strong evangelism gift that moves another level into cross-cultural. And that can be cross-cultural within our country. There's so many different cultures in our country, but also around the world, an ability to take that message of evangelism and move across cultural lines would be the gift of missions. Apostle. Apostle is the ability to start new things like new churches and oversee their development. A lot of pastors of very large churches where there are then small churches starting out of that and then still others starting would be people with the gift of apostleship. It's very closely related to leadership, the leadership gift, but with an evangelistic push to it. And then finally, there's language again. Here's the third use of tongues. And this was found in Acts chapter 2, where they spoke in tongues and everybody heard in their own language. There were all these people there, and they didn't know how to communicate with them. So God supernaturally used the gift of tongues to communicate. I want to give, if I might, a quick example of that. I have a friend, is a Methodist pastor, that was traveling in what was the Soviet Union at that time. And he was in Moscow, and he was riding with in a taxi cab, and the taxi cab driver didn't speak any English. And, of course, he didn't speak any Russian, and so there was no real communication going on, except he had showed him on a map where he wanted to go. And so as they're driving along, you know, he kept thinking the Lord was telling him, just start speaking in tongues. That's kind of strange. But the impression just kept coming and kept coming and kept coming. And finally he said, okay, God. Plus, this guy doesn't know any my language anyway. Just doesn't understand me. So he started speaking it out. And after a few minutes, the cab driver pulled off to the side and he looked back with tears running down his face. And he goes, Jesus. And started pointing at his heart. And later on, through an interpreter, they found out that he had been speaking in perfect Russian. And the cab driver had heard the message of Jesus Christ for the very first time and had surrendered his life to him. So this gift still is useful today. God still does it. I could tell some more stories. We don't have time today. But sometimes God will use the gift of tongues in a way to cross language barriers. And when it's in that category, it would be under the gifts that communicate God's Word. Brian, could you tell us a little bit more, gifts that demonstrate God's love?
Well, the first one we're going to talk about is service. And this is having the ability to recognize unmet needs in the church and provide assistance for that. And most times this is on a personal level. we have a deacon commission that meets the personal needs of the body, people needing financial assistance or whatever it may be, meals after somebody coming home from surgery or having a baby, those type of things. So if you have that gift, that's along the lines that you would serve within the body. We've also served meals at, served a meal at Water Street Rescue Mission. People that have that gift, they're drawn to those kind of things. They enjoy doing that. So if you have that gift of service, meeting those needs within the body, that's those kind of places that you would plug into. And similar to that is the gift of helps. And this is more focused on the operation of the church. You see the many events that we have. There are people that they're not good at acting, they don't like to cook, but they'll gladly come in and set things up, they'll gladly tear things down. That's a gift of helps. So if you enjoy doing those kind of things, kind of behind the scene type things, that's the kind of places you get involved with. When we do various programs, we need people to set things up and tear down. That's a good place for you to plug into. Also the gift of mercy, and this is the ability to emphasize with and support those who are suffering. And again, in our deacon commission, we have teams set up that go to the hospital to pray for people, to be with them. If you have a mercy gift, that's a great place to plug into, because we always have people that are going to the hospital for various things, surgeries, whatever. So if that's one of your gifts, great place to plug into, and they always can use help in that. We have shut-ins, people that can't get out to the service, would love to be here. I think of Aggie Hess, who would just love to be here but had to give up her car because she couldn't drive anymore. But she loves company. She loves to talk. She loves to share. She shares what God has done in her life. And you leave there encouraged because you see what God has done in her life. So this is a great place, if you have a gift of mercy, to go and to serve. We also have hospitality. And we've been talking a lot about hospitality within this body as far as inviting people to your homes and entertaining them, enjoying spending time with them, and just helping others to feel welcome. I mean, if you came into a new church and somebody said, hey, I'd really like to have lunch with you, you feel welcomed, encouraged, and so it's promoting fellowship, hosting a small group, that, and the gift of love within the
community. And who think really is a powerful gift. And a person doesn't have to have a basic tie. They want to go further. They want to see the work of God go forward so much. That is the greatest joy to give. And I have some friends and other people that I've known through the years that have this supernatural gift, and they just find it energizing to see something that God's up to and say, you know what, I think I'd like to invest in that. And those kinds of entrepreneurial givers are what really give the work of God a huge boost. It's fantastic.
How do you see that gift being used within this congregation, if somebody has that gift?
If someone has that gift, well, some of them might want to do something monetarily. Maybe they see something that's missing, a piece of equipment that's needed, or maybe a special project that's being started, and they hear about this project, or something that the youth are doing that they would like to support. They could do it in that way. People sometimes like to give specifically to a mission outreach program and give it an extra boost to make it happen. So those are ways that people can be involved. Also, the giving of time. Some people may not have money as a major resource, but they'll give a significant amount of time to a project and see it go to its conclusion. So that's another way that a person with the gift of giving could benefit the church at large.
So I guess a staff cruise fund wouldn't fall under that.
No, I think that, wouldn't that? We have it, for those of you who don't know, we have this little piggy bank in the office, and somebody put on their staff cruise fund. I think we've got enough to rent a rowboat and go across the Susquehanna, so thanks.
With one oar.
With one oar, yeah.
Now, as we look at all these categories, there are gifts that support those categories. Pastor Greg, can you share with us what those are?
Yeah, these gifts are, as you see in your little illustration there, you have somebody there at the bottom holding up everyone else. Leadership within the body of Christ is not a superiority position. It is a support position. As we talked about last week, everybody in the church is a minister, and people with these kinds of gifts that support all the purposes of the church are just servants of the servants. And so a person with leadership, for example, will often apply that gift in another area of giftedness that they have. For example, let's say someone has a passion for children's ministry. They might lead in children's ministry. Maybe their gift is teaching. They might be a teaching leader. Or maybe their Mother Teresa was someone who had a leadership gift, but she also had an incredibly high mercy gift. And so she led the way to mercy on the streets of Calcutta, and with her leadership gift was able to rally people around her to see that ministry go forward. And it made an impression that went around the world. So generally, leaders either it teams up with their other gifts, or they'll find other people with gifts and they'll rally them together toward a goal in which their gifts can be most realized. Along with that comes the gift of administration. Leaders tend to give vision. This is where I see us going, you know, and we need people with teaching gifts, and we need people with helps, and we need people with service. We need people with mercy, and let's gather together and let's do this. And we need some people with giving to help finance it. Let's do this thing. The administrators are going to be the ones that say, okay, that's what we're going to do, but how are we going to get there? So the administrators will say, okay, we're going to need some nuts and bolts people doing this, and we're going to need some people with musical talents doing this. That's how those tend to function. So you have a vision, and then the actual nuts and bolts of how it happens with administration, and it helps orchestrate all those gifts together. Along with that comes the gift of faith. All of us are called to have faith, but some people have a supernatural gift from God to say, you know what? God's going to win. This is what He's promised He's going to do, and I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what the finances look like. I don't care how challenged it looks like we may be personnel-wise. If God says it's going to happen, it's going to happen, so let's get with it. And people with the gift of faith just tend to raise everybody's temperature just a little bit, that this is possible and it's going to happen. So that's how these three gifts really help motivate and equip and encourage the church to use their gifts appropriately. You know, we've been going around talking with various ones about their gifts. I hope that each of you have had an opportunity to look over your own. And again, as we said earlier, if you have not had a chance to take one of the spiritual gifts inventories, we'd really encourage that you would. Because you will find the greatest joy in your life comes from doing what God designed you to do. God had a plan for your life, says, and Psalms 139 says that our days were numbered before we were even born. God had a plan designed for us. Now, some of us have gone to plan B and plan C and plan D because we've taken some detours that God didn't necessarily design. But He still has that basic plan in mind for us. And if we will allow ourselves to be used by Him as an act of worship and praise to Him, we will find not only a fulfillment in serving God, but we'll find that we're having more fun than we've ever had in our entire lives. Because God knows us better than we know ourselves. Before I became a Christian, one of the things that I thought would be the worst thing in the world would be, well, if I came to Christ, surely I wouldn't have any fun anymore. And if I came to Christ, I would just be sitting in one place at church. I'd have this unhappy expression on my face. And I would have to do all these good things and keep from doing all the bad things. My idea of what it was to be a Christian growing up was not really very good. It seemed like the most boring way a person could live life. All the fun, I thought, was out there. I was so wrong. The enemy had me deceived. I didn't realize that if I would do what God had designed for my life, I'd have more fun. I would have more fulfillment, more purpose, more meaning. I'd be working for a greater dream. See, many of us settle for the lesser dream of just punching a time clock and doing work, and not anything, much of what we do is not done with any kind of eternal purpose in mind. And when our time comes and we retire and it's over, and we've made no real impact. But
But God has designed us so that our lives, our little contribution, has an eternal impact. And that eternal impact is what we're on this planet for in the beginning. And it's something that's going to last because it's measured in people and life change. That's what's exciting. And so I became a Christian. And one of the things I thought would be the most miserable things in the world, you know, I'd be so bored. I ended up, one of the first assignments to me was to help youth. And so I find myself out teaching water skiing. What a horrible way to live, you know. I'd spend my week teaching kids how to water ski and taking them on camping trips and stuff. This isn't what it's supposed to be a Christian, is it? See, God had something better in mind for me than I had for myself. I used to think, oh man, you know, if I become a Christian, He's going to make me a missionary or something. I'll be up in some Africa or something like that. Now I've been to Africa 4 times. I love it. You know, it is exciting. I love that continent. It's just, there's something about it. Why? God changed my perspective. Now, I didn't end up having to do things the way I had pre-programmed in my mind, but God had something planned for me that was much better for me than I had for myself. So, what I'm saying is, God wants you to release yourself to Him. Take that gift and begin to pray about it. Pastor, there's some things available here for just some suggestions. Could you share those?
In your packet is information explaining some of those gifts and ways to be involved. And on the back is a green sheet. If you feel that God is calling you or leading you to something, you can fill that out, you can hand it in to us. But what I want you to understand with that is this is not a recruiting time at all. This is about doing what it is that God is laying on your heart and you being obedient to that calling. And I just want to share a little bit of my testimony on that. Is 13 years ago when I came to this church, we were meeting at Schreiber, I was a wallflower and never really believed in what God was leading me to do. And there was always that still small voice of prodding. And if you're getting that still small voice of prodding, that's God. And He's saying, I want you to step out. Is it easy? Absolutely not. It was the most difficult thing for me to stand up in front of a group of adults and try to teach a Sunday school class. It was very difficult. But God honors that obedience. And He will stretch you in ways that you just can't even begin to imagine. And it's a good thing. He will use that to glorify Him, though. It's not for us. It's not to glorify us. It's to glorify Him. And you need to remember that. That standing up and teaching or leading worship, whatever it may be, it's not about bringing attention to us. It's about bringing attention to God. So I just want to encourage you that as we are talking about this, this is not about, oh, we got to get people in here and get them recruited to do things. What we want to do is allow the opportunity that God is laying on your heart for you to serve in the way that He has equipped you in your gifting, in the way that He is calling you to serve in this body. So as you read over that, take it to prayer. Say, God, how do you want to use me in this? And if He's laying something on your heart, you need to come and talk to Pastor Greg or myself. And we can talk to you about ways that you can use that gift. We want to see people serving God, but not because it makes us look good, because it's being obedient to what God is calling you to do. So read over that. Read over the descriptions. Read over the different ways to get involved. And if God is calling you, now only if God is calling you, fill out that sheet, turn it into us, and we will sit down with you and we'll talk to you about ways that you can become involved in the ministry here at Hempfield.
Could it be that people will come up with something that's not on the list?
Absolutely. There are going to be different things. You'll say, well, I'm not sure where this fits in. And again, if God is calling you to that, He's going to make available where that gift fits in here. So don't be afraid to say, well, I don't see it on this list, because there's a way that God, He's laying that on your heart for a reason. So He's going to, if He's laying that on your heart, that means there's a place that He wants you to use that in this body. So, again, come talk to us, and we can talk about how that fits in here and how that looks at Hempfield.
Yeah. It really comes down to purpose. God has a purpose and a plan for your life that's incredible. And when we let go and say, okay, God, this is what I do for, you know, my day-to-day work. I'm a self-supporting missionary. you know, we think of ourselves as self-supporting too, because we work our 40 hours as our church stuff, and then we volunteer beyond that as our volunteer. We're all self-supporting missionaries, is what it is. And what we do for a living is fine, but what we're doing for God is that's what's really exciting. And that's where life change takes place, where we see people come to faith, where we see people's hearts touched. That's what it's all about.
Walking in obedience is just an incredible place to be walking, because as we are called and we walk in that, God will just do incredible things, and there'll be blessings that you will experience either through your own life or in other people's lives that you'll just sit back and go, that was just amazing. And that's what it means to be serving in the way that God's called you, because there will just be blessings that will just knock your socks off. So I just encourage you to don't look at this being, oh, more work, more responsibility. It's letting God work through you and blessing you to bless other people and just seeing what He does in their lives and how that blessing comes back. It's just an incredible place to be.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to bring it to a close today. We're going to end just a little bit differently. Normally we sing a song to end, but what I'd like to do this time is for us to just sit quietly for just a moment. We're going to invite the Lord to just speak to us for a few moments, and then we'll dismiss you. So if you'll just bow your heads with me.